Hare Krishna. Today is Tuesday. A little update. I haven't been on the podcast scene since, I believe, Friday when we had the Kirtan, Radhastami Kirtan. And today is Tuesday, which is the appearance day of Lord Vamandev, as well as that of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami. The appearance day of the Lord is certainly of great import to devotees, and Krishna appears in so many wonderful forms. What to speak of a blonde dwarf who, with three steps, crosses over the entire universe and cheats Bali Maharaj of all his possessions. And it's just that word, cheat, which Jayadev Goswami uses in his Das Avatar Stotra, and also it's found repeatedly in Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, Srila Prabhupada also makes this point of Bali Maharaj cheating. He cheated Bali Maharaj because Bali Maharaj acquired the property of the universe by authentic Kshatriya means, and misled him into thinking that, well, a dwarf taking three steps of land would be really just a very insignificant portion of his kingdom, rather than it being the entirety of his kingdom, in fact, more than what he had. And this type of behavior of Krishna is something that neophyte devotees have difficulty in adjusting to. Generally, our concept of spiritual life is one of justice, that everything happens in a very just way, and Krishna ensures that good things happen to good people, bad things happen to bad people, and he himself is the most just of all personalities. And while that's the case, it's also the case that Krishna doesn't necessarily reciprocate according to the formula of justice that we conceive of here with our limited minds. Therefore, although Krishna is most just because he always acts for the welfare of all living entities, and especially so for his devotees, still sometimes that justice by material calculation appears to be cheating. Therefore, Srimati Radharani says, whether he embraces me or tramples me under his feet, why would Krishna trample anyone under his feet? But sometimes Krishna shows his justice in that way and acts in a way by which he neglects his devotees in order to increase the devotees' sense of Krishna consciousness. And with an increased sense of Krishna consciousness, devotees' perception of right and wrong also change. When Krishna's talking to the gopis, he also explains to them that immediately reciprocate the affection of his devotees is so that their loving devotion becomes more intense. In that way, the Lord says, Naham tu sakyo bhajato bhijantum bhajami amisham anavritti vritti. Therefore, the most important thing for devotees is possessing a strong sense of faith in Krishna's well wishes and not measuring his reciprocation, or the right and wrongness of his activities by our very small and limited value system. We should always know that even if it appears that we're being unjustly dealt with, through the agency of the devotees, through the agency of the institution, what appears to be Krishna directly or the spiritual master, it's Krishna's ultimate sense of justice, which is to gain victory, spiritual victory for his devotees and bring them closer and closer to him. Very often Srila Prabhupada emphasizes the same point in relationship to Krishna inciting Yudhisthira Maharaj to declare that Ashwatthama was dead, when in fact he was not. And it's just this type of strong faith that we need to have, that having already surrendered once to Krishna, that Krishna is now personally guiding our lives, but he guides our lives in a way which may be much different than the way we'd like him to do so. But then that's the difference between he and I. Krishna is the absolute all-knowing well-wisher of everyone, and we're very small, tiny, conditioned souls with very limited perception of the world and a very restricted sense of what's really good. So no alternative and no substitute for surrender. And that surrender means real unflinching faith in Krishna. It's also Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami's appearance day, and in a sense the appearance day of our acharyas is even more important than Krishna's appearance. Why is that? Because it's only through our acharyas that we understand Krishna and his appearance. Particularly Jiva Goswami, who's our Siddhanta Acharya, and in his Sandarbhas has given us such a clear understanding of the principles of tattva, the principles of devotional service, loving devotion. In fact, it was Jiva Goswami who systematized our philosophy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, Lord Chaitanya, summarized our philosophy in his Shukshashlakam verses, and his associates, who were all mostly eternally liberated souls, had a very clear understanding of what our Siddhanta or philosophical truths, conclusions were. And yet for the sake of practicing devotees and for the sake of the unity and the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, these truths had to be written down. Without them, there would be unlimited deviation and so many misunderstandings of just exactly what it was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. So for this reason, Jiva Goswami compiled his Sandarbhas and summarized the philosophical teachings of Krishna consciousness. And of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, aside from elaborating on these principles in his many books, he also simplified them in easy-to-access language in his songbooks. His Gitavali and Sharanagati are a systematic development of the process of devotional service, but presented in the form of songs. And by singing those songs, devotees naturally become absorbed in the content of the songs, and their Krishna consciousness becomes elevated through the natural stages of devotion. We should therefore remember these personalities today, pray to them, pray that what they have given, what they have taught, becomes manifest within our heart, and that they empower us to understand our teachings. Prasada leshan anugrihita evahi. Without the empowerment of the Lord, we can't understand him. Without the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we cannot understand them. And tomorrow, just as another meditation, will be the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. Once again, the opportunity to meditate upon our Namacharya, the way to prepare ourselves to leave this material world and the inevitability of having to do so. It was a really wonderful weekend. One of the reasons you didn't hear from me was that Friday was actually Srimati Radharani's appearance day. Saturday was our national festival here. Sunday was sort of the carryover from the festival, saying goodbye to many of the guests who had come, Indradyumna Maharaj, Devamrita Maharaj, Madhava Prabhu, Dirashanta Prabhu came, he's still here. We had very wonderful kirtans, lots of talks and lectures, and the devotees were in real ecstasy. I hope that you've had the opportunity to see Srimati Radharani's lotus feet on the site. They were especially beautiful, very extraordinary. And once again, when we talk about having Charan Darshan or a special Darshan? What is the specialty of seeing Srimati Radharani's lotus feet? The specialty becomes our mentality or the mood by which we embrace the service of Srimati Radharani. As I'd described before, like Prasadam, the holy name, Srimad Bhagavatam, the association of devotees, the vision of the deities, the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani give benefit according to the benefit desired by the devotee, according to the devotion by which he approaches those divine lotus feet, according to the heartfelt prayers by which he addresses them. Of course, Srimati Radharani's lotus feet are beautiful and wonderful in every way, and appreciating them in any way is good for our devotional service. But still, there are different ways to appreciate. We should do so with love and devotion, absorption, and a service attitude. When Devamrita Maharaj was giving class, he was quoting Srila Prabhupada, who would often say that if we approach Srimati Radharani, then she will recommend us to Krishna and say, this devotee is so much better than I. So this wonderful mood, this extraordinary humility, attracts Krishna so much that even Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's own internal potency, his own expansion, still she actually thinks that other devotees are superior to her, and therefore Krishna should accept them as one of his associates. So when we approach Srimati Radharani's lotus feet with a similar type of mood, the similar type of mentality, exactly that type of mood, obviously we cannot have. But trying to follow this type of Trinadapi Sunichena, Taruri Vasishana, then we can really gain benefit from those lotus feet, fix them in our heart, meditate upon them when we chant the holy names, and ultimately see that even Lord Krishna is always relishing to place those lotus feet upon his chest, upon his heart, even upon his head. Dehi pada pallabam buddharam. Srila Jayadeva Goswami has written like that, and Srila Prabhupada tells that story, that when Jayadeva Goswami was writing Gita Govinda, then he came upon a certain pastime at which Krishna was bowing down and asking Srimati Radharani to place her lotus feet upon his head. But because such a thing was never written anywhere in Shastra, Jayadeva Goswami was very hesitant to do so, to take the initiative of writing such a thing. Still, when Jayadeva Goswami was absent from the spot, Krishna came personally, disguised as him, and filled in the missing words that Jayadeva had thought about writing, but actually was too indecisive of doing so. And thus Krishna wrote, Dehi pada pallavam buddhara, please put on my body your most munificent lotus feet.